Okay, Rabbi Say, this week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim, and it's been said, and I think even Rav Huttner brings it in his Pachad Yitzchak, that the yard site of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter always falls in this week's parsha. I don't know exactly what his yard site is, what day it is, I guess I should know, but the Velt says that it always falls the week of Parshas Mishpatim. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, if you know anything about him, and we'll learn a little bit about him tonight through the eyes of Rabbi Eliezer Lapian, he specialized and he focused and he basically made it his life's mission to perfect Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is all about. That's what Musa is all about, to be able to create a more holistic society, a wholesome person, a person who cares about other people. And Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim, is really talking about just such issues about interpersonal relationships and damages and how to avoid damages and how much to pay and how to basically be able to live with one another in a wholesome way. So I found two paragraphs in the Shvivei Lev that Reb Elia speaks about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The first one he quotes from the Reb Avram Shulevitz, and the other one he quotes from something he heard from one of the great Talmidim Rabbi Yisrael Salanter by the name of Reb Naftali Amsterdam. So let's see what he says. Shamati Maisa Nirgash Mipi Agrosh Ulevitz Zal Shu Nasa Maran Ar Yisrael Zechitzad of Kaddish Levracha LeGermania. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to travel a lot for various reasons, either for health reasons or for Kira purposes. And so he once traveled together with him, this Rabbi Avram Shulevitz, to Germany. V'hayu bi'ir Memel, b'yemaki Purim, and they were staying in the city of Memel on Yom Kippur. V'spalu beis hamedrash v'yusham beis pesachim. It's a very famous story, but I think it was made famous through this paragraph right here, that they davened in a certain beis medrash in Germany, and there was two doorways. Echad she'enichnasim v'yaitzim by. One was the regular doorway through which people would come and go. V'asheni hayepasuach l'gina. The other one was a doorway that was just reserved for being open to the vineyard, the backyard, the garden. V'asloy laharbeis avir v'esaknas. Its purpose was just to have air circulating, like cross ventilation. You want to have cross ventilation in a shul, so they didn't have air conditioning then. They basically had one door that was opening for the people coming in and out, and the other door, in the side of the shul or the back of the shul, had had the ability to have fresh air circulating in the shul. So Rav Shulevitz yatsa kaidem tefilas musaf. He had to go out during Tefillas Musaf, before Tefillas Musaf. When he came back in, people were already davening Shemone Esrei. So what did he do? He stood by this doorway of the garden. He started davening. That's the only place that he could really find that wouldn't, that was available. In the middle of the Shemone Esrei, on Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Avram, I think his name is Rabbi Avram, I might be wrong, but Shulevitz heard his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, whispering in his ear. The Yaimer line, he said to him, "Hech efshar li es gazlan b'yom HaKippurim? How is it possible that you're stealing on Yom Kippur itself?" Hadeles hazu asuya la'avir ha'mispalim. This wasn't a regular door. This is a doorway that's designed so that the people in shul could breathe easier. They have a comfortable atmosphere in the shul. Ve'ata madata be'emtza. And you, what are you doing? You're blocking the doorway, and you're stopping the air from flowing. The guys my Masavi, you're stealing the oxygen. The Amarlai Harosh, and this Talmud said, Shehaven midiburei shor b'Yisrael shu chayv l'leches misham afilu b'emzat filu b'kach aslo. He understood by the urgency of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter telling him this in his ear. First of all, probably it means that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself stopped his Shemana Esrei, I would imagine. I'm sure he davened quite a long Shemana Esrei himself on Yom Kippur. He stopped his Shemana Esrei. He went over to whisper in the middle of Shemana Esrei to his Talmud to move out of the... And from the tone of his voice, the Talmud understood that he had to move in the middle of a Shemana Esrei and Yom Kippur, because this was how important it was to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he not be blocking the doorway. It's something that's amazing to think about, because it shows the sensitivity that we have to have towards other people. So, you know, this is maybe a little bit of an extreme case, because, it's not really so extreme, because I could think of really... like almost a parallel case that happens a lot. Sometimes, you know, you walk you want to go out of the Beis Medrash, and there's that guy that decided to daven Shemana Esrei right by the doorway. Right, like over here, right by the, you want to go out to the thing, there's a guy davening Shemana Esrei right next to that entranceway. So you're not supposed to pass by somebody when he's davening Shemana Esrei. So that's a little bit of an insensitivity. Like, why there's no other place in the Beis Medrash you could, so maybe you're not blocking the air because we have air conditioning or we have heat, but you have to be sensitive. Before you start Shemana Esrei, you have to be able to think, like, am I going to impede other people's flow of traffic? Like, why am I more important than everyone else in yeshiva? Why do I have... And it happens all the time. People always daven, you know, right in front of a door or right by a place that people have to pass. And, you know, if you're standing by your place, by your seat, and people want to pass by, that's on them. But, like, you can't expect people to, like, you're basically causing people to violate halacha by standing in front of the door and davening your Shemana Esrei. I'll give you a couple of other examples of things in this ballpark of if we want to apply this lesson of Yisrael Salanter. How about putting away Svarim in the Beis Medrash? The Stipler has a very famous letter, and it's posted in many yeshivas, and it's one of the letters in his Kraina Digrisa. It basically says that if you don't put away your Svarim, and I think we're all maybe guilty of this, I certainly am. I mean, you could probably go on my seat right now and see pure hypocrisy, but, you know, we take out Svarim from the shelves, And then we keep it on our tables, and then we don't put them back. Whether it's a Masifta Gemara or whether it's a Chumash or whether it's a, whatever it may be, but what's going to happen? A Rambam, the next guy that's looking for that Rambam or looking for that Masifta Gemara, looking for they're going to have to look on every shelf in the Beis Medrash, and then they have to walk from table to table. And the Stipler says this is a Gezel Derabim. You're stealing people. You're stealing people. What am I stealing? You're stealing people's time. They're trying to learn. They want to know that, listen, if you're using it, you're using it. If you have a Mayer Makim and one of the Mayer Makim is a Rambam, you take it off from the shelf, that's fine. But there are a lot of other guys that want to use it just like you do. So when you're finished, put it back on the shelf. And we often don't think about other people. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was bringing to the world a new concept that when you're living your life, you have to think about other people. As much as we think about ourselves and what's important to us, and that's always on the top of our minds, we always want to do, you know, what's best for us, and that's natural, that's normal. But we also, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you always have to go and think about Yanim. Like, what are other people need? What am I depriving other people from, and what can I do to help other people? There's one of these legends about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that on Erev Yom Kippur, speaking about Yom Kippur, the Rishal Salanter, he used to walk through the streets of his city and he'd have a hammer in his hand. And he wasn't a carpenter, Rishal Salanter. So what was he doing with a hammer? So they followed him and he'd go into the Ezra Snashim of the shuls in the city And whenever, you know, the old-fashioned benches that they had, like, it was basically put together with, you know, one block of wood and then on legs, and you'd hammer it in. So what happened to those nails? As the bench gives way and as it's used, so then the nail head starts sticking up. The nail head starts sticking up. The women on Yom Kippur, this is all Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explained, they're going to come in their finery, in their dresses, and then they're going to get up to Daven Shemoneh Esrei or move to another place, and the nail head is going to catch their dress. Their dress is going to tear. They're going to, like, not be able to concentrate on davening because they're so worried now about whether they ruined their dress or not and how much it's going to cost to fix and if they can fix it. So Yisrael Salanter didn't want women to go through that, so he went on Erev Yom Kippur when everyone else was busy with their own, going to the mikvah and doing their, you know, whatever, all the avodah of Erev Yom Kippur that I'm sure Yisrael Salanter could have done also. He went and he banged in all of those nail heads in the Ezer Snashim, in the benches of the Ezer Snashim throughout the city that he lived in. Again, what's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is a man, he's an icon, and he represents Parshas Mishpatim. This is his parsha. Ve'elam Mishpatim, whatever you're doing in life, you always have to be alert to the needs of others and to the potential harm that you may be causing others inadvertently. We're not doing it on purpose. Nobody's trying to harm other people. We're all fine, nice, good people. But it's very often because we don't think enough. We don't, like, bother to take the extra step in our minds and think, like, okay, what happens if I don't put back that sefer? What happens if I stand by that doorway and I daven Shemoneh Esrei? And what would happen then? Is that a problem? For most of us, it probably wouldn't be a problem. It's not on our radar. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter tried to bring to the world, through the Musar movement, the ability to think not just about yourself, but to think about others as well. Let's see another maisa that he brings from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Ayt shamati me'agandrim haftali amstir damzatzal. Shepam hivchin, Rabbi Yisrael ene shaymer al astarim, shayukvuim loytamid. One time he chapped that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was not keeping the starim that he always kept. Meaning he would come to yeshiva in the morning, let's say at 7 o'clock, and then he would learn musar, and then he would daven, and then he would do something else. And he had starim. He had very specific starim. And all of a sudden, all the starim started, like, collapsing. Like, he didn't see him anymore at the normal times that he would keep the starim. It was strange to Reb Naftali Amsterdam. Vishal Eisai Lefarish Advarim. So he asked his Rebbe, what's going on? Why are all the starim that you made, you're not abiding by, you're not keeping them? Veheshivlai Ki Ishtai Hevia Al Besam Mishareses Shialmana. His wife hired for her house a cleaning lady. And this cleaning lady is an almana. She's a Jewish widow. Asher al kain, im yakum hashkin ba baker kedarkai. If he would wake up early in the morning, as he was accustomed to, if he would wake up, let's say, 5:30 in the morning, v'yatzim in abayis, and he would leave the house, tis ayer halmana, kedei lakum liskar shuves hadals mifnim. So the almana would have to wake up because she would have to go as the maid of the house. She would have to go and lock the door inside from the inside. Lachenu chayshish mishum kol yasam and leisan. And the pasuk says that any yasam and almana, you should not be tormenting. You should not be causing any pain to a yasam and almana. The Amar Loi, Kama Dvarm Shinimna Lasaisam Ibnay Tamanam. Because of this, there were a lot of other things Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wasn't able to anymore do. Maybe he had to come home earlier at night and he couldn't, whatever. There was a lot of different things that got out of whack because his wife hired this almana. The Haisa Brisrava Amar Labizalash. Listen to what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says. Umata Emer Naftali. What are you going to tell me? After I said Batesim Basi, you're probably thinking, okay, well, fire her. It's not working out, so get rid of her. It's not, what are you going to do? He says, Imkein ledvarecha yaitse, if that would be the case, if that's what I should be doing, if that's your logical extension of what's happening here, Sha'asil hachnes almana v'yasim l'sech beis Yehudi shamitzaru isam. It would turn out that it's usher to bring in an almana and yasim into your house because you might cause them pain. That's impossible. It would be impossible to say that the Torah would not allow a person to ever bring a yasam and alman into a house. Can't be possible. What does that mean? You can't adopt a yasam. You can't hire an almana. You can't invite an almana for a. It's impossible. So it must be that if you have an almana in your house, you have to work around her. You have to be able to make sure that she's okay, and you have to readjust your seder to fit hers. And this is another of many, many stories that we have from Rabbi Saul Salanter, and it's an important, might even be his yard site today, I'm not sure, but this is a very important takeaway from the life of Rabbi Saul Salanter. I'll tell you one final story about Rabbi Saul Salanter. I don't know if this is for sure from him, this is what I heard, B'Shem Rabbi Saul Salanter, that there was a man who invited him for Shabbos. Rabbi Saul Salanter was once invited by a certain family for Shabbos. Like I said before, he used to travel a lot. So he'd get invited to different places on Shabbos. And this person that invited him had a wife and children, and he was sitting by the table Friday night, and they were singing Shalom Aleichem, and everything was going fine until like it was time to make Kiddush. And then this husband was obviously not the nicest guy in the world. And he started like screaming at his wife. Says, "You forgot to cover the chalas. Where's the challah cover? You forgot to cover the chalas." And, you know, the woman was all embarrassed. Nebuch, she had worked a whole day. She was shopping and she was schlepping and she was cooking and she was cleaning and she was doing everything. Okay, so you be meichel, she forgot the challah cover. It's not unthinkable, right? And he didn't stop. He kept on like needling her and the whole. So Rabbi Saul Salanter was getting very agitated by this, because this is like the opposite of everything that he represented. And he said to the guy, he says, "Let me ask you a question." He says, "Why do we cover chalas? What's the reason that we cover them? Why don't you have a chalas cover?" So he says, "Everybody knows the reason why we cover the chalas is Shalyira pas bushasa, because you really could be making kiddush on chalas, but we make kiddush on yayin. We don't want to embarrass the chalas by passing over it to make kiddush on the wine. We cover the chalas so it doesn't see Shalyira pas bushasa because of busha." So Rabbi Saul Salanter says, "Do you think that the pas really is embarrassed? I didn't know that pas had nerve endings and they have feelings, they have eyes, they have ears. What does it mean? You know what it means? It means that we're supposed to learn a lesson that we cover the chalas so that we are sensitive to not cause other people busha. Isn't it ironic," he says, "that because of this minik to cover the chalas, which is only to teach us the lesson, Shalayira pas bushasa, that we shouldn't embarrass somebody else, that you're using this as a weapon against your wife, to embarrass her." You know how Rabbi Saul Salanter, they say, started the Musar movement? The Musar movement was something that was a very big chiddush. He said that every single yeshiva should have a certain amount of time every single day, a seder and yeshiva, to learn Musar. Musar b'espailus, Musar with a lot of excitement, with enthusiasm, with energy. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, in yeshivas, Musar seder just it's just dead time. It's like if the people do stay for it, it's not. I remember when I was a bacher, they used to joke that Musar seder today is 15 minutes of silence, Zeich Nishmas Rabbi Saul Salanter. That's basically what Musar seder became. But Musar seder should really be like rocking. It should be like loud and screaming. And I once visited Rav Gifter, Mordechai Gifter, Zerasadu Levracha. He was in Eretz Yisrael for a grandchild's wedding, I think it was. And I went to visit him. I was in Kaltaira in Beit Vagan. He was staying in Beit Vagan. And he was telling me that the way Musar used to be in Europe, the way it used to be in Tells in Europe, he says that they used to make Musar Seder around Shkia time. That's what, it wasn't like a set time, like every day. It was whenever Shkia was, like around then, that's when Musar Seder was. What's the milo of having Musar Seder by Shkia? Because everybody would have their own Musar Sefer. Like, let's say you'd have Misal Sisharim, I have a Shari Tshuva, and you would have Archa Sadikim. and we would all be learning Musar. And Musar wasn't designed, by the way, to like be learned like a mile a minute. Like you're not, it's not a chap to like finish Masilas Yesharim. You're supposed to savor it. Every single word is supposed to be sung and thought about and processed and absorbed. And so everyone would be sitting by Musar Seder, Shkia time, and there was still light coming in. They didn't have electricity back then. They would light like candles, torches or whatever it is, you know, on the sides of the room, lanterns, and that's how they would light up the Beis Medrash. So if you could picture the scene, and Rav Gifter painted it so beautifully, basically, so the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of Musar Seder, you would read over again and again and again that line in the Masilas Yesharim, whatever it is. And then the sun was setting outside the windows, and it was getting darker and darker. So first you just started learning it, and then it got pitch black in the Beis Medrash. And at that point, you knew already the line that you were learning by heart because you went over it so many times. And now it was so dark in the Beis Medrash, you couldn't see anyone else until they didn't turn on the lanterns until after, you know, Masilas Yesharim was over. So people were screaming on the top of their lungs, the line, and they were crying, and totally uninhibited, because you didn't have to be embarrassed, but no one knew who you were, where you were. It was complete darkness, and it went right into you. Like the Musar Mamish entered into your bloodstream. That's how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter envisioned Musar. It wasn't supposed to be just an intellectual pursuit. It was an emotional, it was everything. It was supposed to really change a person. And why did he start the Musar movement? Listen to the story. There was once a guy who was, he was a shoemaker. And he was very, very poor. And what happened was that he struck it rich somehow. I don't know, he came up with some way to make many shoes at once or whatever. He invested in a factory and he grew it and he became like the wealthiest guy in town. So he started being like a very poor person, a simple cobbler, a simple shoemaker, repairing shoes and fixing shoes and making shoes, and then eventually became a gevir, and he married off his daughter, and he made a beautiful chasna, like a really spitz, like top of the line wedding with a big band and caterers and like for the wealthiest, fanciest chasna that the town had ever seen. And it was very big for him. He went from literally from rags to riches. And his daughter was getting married off. She married a very chashuv guy. As they're walking their daughter down to the chuppah, so one guy, I guess he was a little bit jealous of the success that this simple shoemaker had. He takes off his shoe and he lifts it up and he says to the, you know, to the father of the bride, he says, "Yossi, my heel is a little worn down. How much does it cost to fix?" And everyone's laughing. And this guy was embarrassed. And, you know, Nebuch, like at the Al Reish Simchasa, like he had to, some idiot had to embarrass him, humiliate him, grab him. And Rousseau Salanter happened to be at that chasna. And he said, if that's possible for a human being to do to another human being that, if a yid could do that, there's something fundamentally wrong with our society. If such an incident could ever happen, that means we need a sea change. We need to completely change the mindset and the heart set of Klal Yisrael. We need to learn Musar. He says, because if not for Musar, we're finished. We're just behemoths. And that was the reason why Rousseau Salanter started his movement. And the movement was very popular. It took off like wildfire. Not to say that every single yeshiva accepted it. Some yeshivas were very against it. They felt that you could get all the Musar just from learning Gemara. But Rousseau Salanter felt that you couldn't. And today, the legacy still exists. People are still learning Musar, Baruch Hashem. Every yeshiva in good standing has a Musar Seder, whether or not people come to it or not is another story, but it's important for us to learn Musar, and it's important to just learn about Rousseau Salanter. I'll just end with one more yisai, just one more yisai, one more point over yisai salanter. A lot of times people believe that if you're a big Baal Musar, if you're a big Musarnik, that means that you're probably not a big Talmud Chacham. Right? He's probably busy all day learning Mesos Yisharim. He can't learn Kitzais and Mesos Yisharim. It's not possible. So people don't always give like the Bali Musar, the Mashkichim, or whatever, the right, you know, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. So Rissal Slanter, just to give you an example of the greatness of Rissal Slanter in learning, they said that he said about himself, he says that I have the mental capacity of 100 people, of 100 brilliant people. He was brilliant. He says, but I also have the responsibilities of 100 people. Because I have the ability, the intellect of 100 people, that means I also have the achrayus of 100 people. And one time, he was supposed to speak, supposed to give a shiur in a certain shul, in a certain community, and he put out the Maor Mekaymus on the bulletin board outside, and it was like maybe, I don't know, 20 different Maor Mekaymus. And people that were trying to undermine him, because a lot of people were against the Musar movement, like I said before. So they basically, they took down his Maor Mekaymus, and they put up like the most random Maor Mekaymus. They switched it all for like, they mamash like made like, Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Aleph Beis, and they put Yuma Daf, like just random Maor Mekaymus, Rambam, Hilchos Me'ilah, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walks into the shul. He just takes a look at the Maor Mekaymus. He immediately chaps that somebody switched it. He looks at the sheet for like a few seconds. He goes up to the stand. There was a packed shul, and a lot of them are waiting like to see what's going to happen. And he waits for a second, and then he starts giving a brilliant shiur based on those random Maor Mekaymus. He weaves the whole Shas and Paiskim together to give the most brilliant shiur. And they say about him that, why did he have to wait? He didn't have to wait because he had to think about it, because he chapped, the second he saw him, he was able to right away put together a shiur. He says, but the reason why he waited was he wasn't sure if it was gaiva to do that or not. Maybe he should just say, listen, okay, the shiur is canceled. But he decided, no, it's kedai to do it. But just to give you an idea of the greatness of Rissal Slanter, doesn't have, just because you're a nice person, just because you're working on your midas, does not mean that in any way it affects your lamdas. You could be a big lamdan, and you could also be a tremendous Baal Musar, a tremendous Baal Machshava, a tremendous Baal Midas. And that was the person that Rissal Slanter saw us all being. He envisioned a Ben Taira that's a masmid, that's a Talmud Chacham, but that it shouldn't in any which way infringe on your ability to care about another person, to be able to be a good husband, a good father, a good chavrusa, a good friend. All of that is together the Adam HaShalom, the great person that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was, and that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter envisioned every Yid to be.